Good morning. If you'd like to turn to it, our text this morning will be from Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Glad for the presence of each and every one of you here today. If we have race fans with us, you are welcome too. Come back tonight and be with us as well. Our topic that we're going to be discussing this morning is heart surgery. Where do you go for heart surgery? You go to the hospital, don't you? This morning, we're going to the Bible. We're going to talk about heart surgery from the Word of God this morning. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him with whom we have no to do." Manifest, known. He knows. He knows all. He sees all. God's message is alive and active. It's sharper than any sword with two sharp edges. It can slice between the soul and spirit, or between the joints and the marrow. It can tell the difference between the desires and the intents of the human mind. Nothing in creation is hidden before God. To his eyes, everything is naked and bare. We must give an answer to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. Says we will give an answer before God. While the Word of God is comforting and nourishing to those who believe, it is a tool of judgment and execution for those who have not committed themselves to Christ in faithful obedience. You see, that's key words there in that statement. Commit. Commit and faithful. Two key words in the gospel of Christ that each and every one of us need to have. Each individual is judged not only by the Word of God, but by God himself. In John chapter 12, verse number 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth me. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The words in this book are the same that will judge man in the last day. We are accountable to the living and written Word, and to the living God, who is its author. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, so states, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." You see, we need to obey God. He is the author of eternal salvation. He wrote the book. The Hebrew writer sums up verse 13. And he says that everything is naked to God, and that everything is compelled to meet God's eyes. What he is saying is that as far as men are concerned, we may be able to wear our outward tarpings and our disguises, but in the presence of God, those things are stripped away And we have to meet God as we are. In other words, do away with the false fronts. Do away with the Christianity suits. And do away with the I am a Christian face. Have that face all week long. Not just on Sunday where we come together and worship. Wear your suit all week long. Be the child of God that He requires us to be. Don't put out a false front. Be true. In the end, we have got to meet God. We have got to meet the eyes of God. When you come face to face and you meet the eyes of God, what are you going to say? I didn't have time. Race weekend. I had company. Which one will be the one that He accepts? We may avert our gaze from people whom we are ashamed to meet. But in the end, we cannot do that with God. We are compelled to look God in the face. Every eye shall see Him. Kermit Ebbe writes in The God in You, and he says, at some time or other, a man must stop running from himself and his God. Possibly because there is just no other place to run. There comes a time to every man when he has to meet God, from whose eyes nothing is hid and ever, never can be concealed. The Word of God can prick the heart and cause a person to obey. Or it can cut the heart and cause a person to rebel. When one obeys, that means the gospel has penetrated. It has come in to the mind. The mind was open. When a person rebels, that means the person has a hard heart. It won't go. It won't penetrate. They keep saying, not today. No. The Word of God can cut just like a scalpel. However, it depends on the attitude of the hearer. You may be familiar with the book Muscle and the Shovel. Mike, when he met Randall, his attitude was horrible, wasn't it? But as Randall kept talking with Mike, Mike's attitude got better and better. Finally, it penetrated. The gospel penetrated Mike's heart. And he obeyed the gospel. So what kind of a heart should we have? What kind? I suggest you do this morning that we need to have a clean heart. Psalms 51, verse number 10. David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a spirit, a right spirit within me. David, the man after God's own heart, said that. Psalms 51, confession and prayer for God's pardon. David confessed. Before repentance, one has to recognize and one has to acknowledge their transgressions. David did. In verse number 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee." He was there once. Psalm 51, 12, and 13. Listen to it carefully. "Return unto me the glory of thy salvation." David lost it, folks. So you're going to tell me that you can't fall? It's in the Old Testament. David failed. "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You can fall. Verse number 12 said, "Restore me unto thy joy of thy salvation." Salvation is joyful. You have hope when you have salvation. When you know that you have obeyed the gospel. And you know where you're going when this time is no longer. It's joy. David knew that he had fallen, and he did something about it. Today, if you know that you're not right with God, do something about it. The second heart that I suggest to you this morning is that we need a renewed heart. Ezekiel 18, verses 30 through 32. God tells the house of Israel to repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Sin, if it's not taken care of, will be our ruin. "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefrom yourselves, wherefore turn from yourselves and live ye." Turn from your wicked ways and live. How do we continue to live? We obey. We're going to die, right? But where are we going to live when we die? Hell or heaven? Heaven is a wonderful place. We sing the song, "How beautiful heaven must be." We don't sing any songs about hell, do we? Hell is a terrible place. It's spoken of in God's word many, many times. No one should want to go there. The third heart this morning that I suggest that we should have is the heart that seeks God. Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. The writer says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Ezra prepared. Are you preparing this morning? Are you prepared this morning? As he prepared to seek the Lord and to do it. To do what? To do the will of the Lord. He studied before he attempted to live a life of obedience. He had that want-to attitude. He studied and practiced the law in his own life before he opened his mouth to teach the law. You see, you cannot teach what you don't know. We find in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, plainly tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek, and ye shall find." Seek the kingdom of God first. The fourth heart that I suggest to you this morning that we need is a heart of obedience. In Psalms chapter 116, verse number 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." He certainly is not happy when someone dies outside of him. He's saddened. But if you're in him, precious in his sight. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37. "And now they heard this, and were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In verse number 38, Peter tells them plainly, without stumbling, without stuttering, without guessing, he says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter, an inspired apostle, told him that. Words breathed from the inspiration. That's what you need to do. They were pricked, or they were pierced, their hearts. The word penetrated. And on that day, about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. Again, we find in Acts 8. 36 and 37. Talking about Philip and the eunuch. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He's talking to Philip, the man teaching him the gospel. Philip says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I can't believe he wants me to be baptized in this water for the remission of my sin. I'm just not going to do that." No, that's not what he said. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He had an open mind. He was willing to accept the word of God, not the word of man. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 17, the Bible says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." At one time, we were the servants of sin, and those who have obeyed the gospel. "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." And there's only one form of doctrine. There's only one doctrine, one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You can't go wrong when you go that route. In Romans chapter 10:10 says, "For the heart For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just like the eunuch did. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed that Jesus is the Son of God unto. Still something else to do. That didn't put the stamp on it. Had to be washed in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of his sins. Now, what kind of a heart should we not have? Let's take that scaffold and cut it out. We do not want to have a hardened heart. What is called when someone has a hardened heart, it's called stubbornness in opposition to God's will or disobedience. There's a classic case of this in the Bible, of such disobedience, was the Pharaoh of Egypt, who refused to release the Hebrew people in spite of repeated displays of God's power. You'll find it beginning Exodus chapter 4, verse number 21, leading on to Exodus 7, verse number 3, verse number 13, and verse number 22. You'll find it in chapter 8 of Exodus, 15 and 32. You'll find it in Exodus 9, 12, 34, 35, and 10. Verse number 1, 20, 27. Chapter 11, 9, and verse 10. Chapter 14, 4, 8, and 17. It ended. God had enough. Chapter 14, 23 through 28. Read it. All Egyptians were destroyed. God took their wheels off their chariots. The hardened heart ended. Another heart that we should not have is that the Lord knows the heart of man. He knows what you're thinking. He knows you. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. In 1 Samuel 16, verse number 13, we see Samuel anointed David to be king. In verse number 6, we see Jesse's first son, Eli, passed before Samuel, and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." This has got to be him. In verse number 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord looketh on the heart. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 39, Solomon's speaking here, and he says, "Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men." 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 9. Begin there about the middle of the verse, and it says, "For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Let's read the whole verse. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Folks, is he just talking to Solomon here? No. We take the whole Bible. We study the whole Bible. He says if you will seek him, you can find him. If you forsake him, he's going to cut you off. Forsaken means to never obey the gospel. Never confess the sweet name of Jesus. He will cut you off. In Luke chapter 16, verse number 15, we're talking here about the Pharisees. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You esteem yourself high? It's an abomination in the sight of God. It's kind of like in the denominational world where they have a one-man pastoral in charge. That's nowhere in the Word of God. You can't find it. He's esteeming himself high above other folks. To call me or call him Reverend Pastor and other names not according to the Word of God. The Pharisees believed that in their own goodness was what justified them. Their own goodness. Of course, this is the very definition of self-righteousness. But as Jesus suggested, their righteousness was flawed. They had a false front. Being an external veneer only. It might be enough to justify them before men, but it's not enough to justify them before God, because he knew their heart. You can fool men, but you can't fool God. Has your heart been pricked or just cut? Is your heart right with God, washed in the crimson blood? Cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God? Are you right? This is what I'm trying to get across this morning from 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. If you never obey the gospel, you'll never see the glory of heaven. It was true in David's and Solomon's day, and it's true today. Follow the Lord and obey, or forsake him and be cast off forever. Is your heart right with God? If not, let's do a little surgery. Let's get out that scaffold. Let's start cutting. Cutting away the sin in our life. Cutting away the disbelief. What do we need to do? when we use that scalpel. Believe in Jesus. Acts 16:30-31. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what do I need to do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." In verse number 33, we see where they were baptized. Did you cry? We also see that here that belief is not the only thing taught there. Because they were baptized, verse 33. Repent of sins, Acts 17:30. At the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. At one time he winked at it. It says so in Acts 17:30. Not anymore. Confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God, as they did in Acts 8:36-37. Ethiopian eunuch. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Upon that confession, they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. And Philip baptized him, and they both came up straightway. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? He took the scalpel. He cut. And he's seen. That's what I need to do. And that's what he did. You'll find that in Acts 8:39. Folks, do you need to be baptized this morning? Do you need to come to Jesus this morning and give him your life? Does your heart need to be cut, pricked? Maybe you have obeyed the gospel at one time or another. You've fallen, like we've seen this morning, like David did. David said, "Restore unto me thy salvation." Come back this morning, and God will restore unto you thy salvation. In 2 Peter 3:9, he wishes that none would perish, but that all come unto repentance. All men be saved. Titus 2:11. If you have a need this morning, come over, stand and sing.